Before starting with this week's podcast, I just wanted to offer a quick apology for the crappy audio quality this week. I installed Pamela Call Recorder on my laptop, and as is usually the case when you install software on new equipment, I didn't check the audio settings, and it apparently recorded at a much lower quality than we usually do. So it's going to sound a little bit boxy, but hopefully it's not too distracting. Anyway, on with the show. Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grindislav. I almost forgot there for a second. And with me, as always...
I remember quite clearly who I am. I am Ben Chandler, also known as 304. Hello, Grindislav, how are you?
I'm alright. How are you?
I am alright.
Good. What have you been up to lately?
I have been away from the internet and computers in general with work. So, hello, I'm back.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
What did you do in the week or so I was away?
Oh, man, what didn't I do? I've been absorbing culture in New York like a sponge.
Boring. Let's move on. Games, please.
Boring? I'll have you know I went to go see Anna Nicole, the opera.
Yeah, And actually, you went with one of Wedged Eyes and for other games, voice actresses who fell asleep listening to our last podcast. So we need to inject some spice into this one, I think, to keep it, you know.
Okay. Wake up, Miranda Govan!
Let's get some energy going. Let's make it a real kinetic podcast. Real, whoa, punchy, bang, bang.
That's difficult because there's also been the new development and that I've installed Pamela Call Recorder as well as Goldwave on my laptop, so I'm currently podcasting in bed.
I'm not. I'm up. I'm out and about. I have a glass of water. I have a sweet in my mouth. Delicious. I'm ready. I'm here. Hello.
Good. 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 Well, let's not waste any time. What are we going to talk about today?
Let's talk about what games we've been playing first, as we always do. So what have you been playing?
Well, I caved and I bought Rayman Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing Rayman Legends. Not that much. I've only played it about... I've only had about 3 play sessions. I bought it last Saturday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, sometime. I bought it after you had disappeared.
Yeah.
So
I said to you, you said to me, you said there's no... You said I'm absolutely gonna not buy it. Not buy it right now. And then as soon as I went away, your self-control...
We recorded our last podcast on Saturday of last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so I told you at that point I'm not going to buy Rayman Legends, and the very next day I went to Best Buy and I bought Rayman Legends. So
the things that happen when I go away, your self-control, just gone. Gone.
Oh. Oh. You go away,
all right,
I lose my self-control.
That's actually, I was actually thinking the same song, so I can't really.
It's really the go-to song for self-control, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. And for good reason. It's a good song.
It is. It is
so let's talk about Vice City, and more specifically, GTA 5 has been released.
GTA 5 has been released. Now, that's one that I definitely have practiced my self-control on and have not bought, because I know it's going to be a total time sink.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto games generally are, but I'm interested to see how it goes, because I really didn't like Grand Theft Auto 4 a lot, as you know. And you quite liked it, so I'm interested to see if I can get into Grand Theft Auto 5 or not. I think after playing Bully and Red Dead Redemption, both of which I loved, it's really hard for me to want another Grand Theft Auto game. When I could be getting something like that.
Yeah, but if you take into consideration, I mean, the reviews that have been coming in have been positive all across the board, and it seems like Rockstar's kind of taking the formula that they discovered with Red Dead, and they're kind of putting it
implementing it more into the Grand Theft Auto universe, because it's not so much about stealing cars and blowing stuff up. There seems to be a lot more variety in the missions.
Yeah.
And there's random encounters and stuff like that. So it's kind of like they're going out of that. They're trying to make it more, it seems, open world and alive, like it was in Red Dead Redemption. Then
I just think I've been playing Grand Theft Auto since Grand Theft Auto 2 came out. So I really find, I find that I've played the car thief and the mass murderer and, in a modern city. I want something else, They could do a game in a medieval setting not a medieval setting, but, something interesting, something different, something new that I haven't done before. But don't make it like Pirates, because Assassin's Creed is doing that, and it seems very silly. Good. So have you been playing anything else?
I played a little bit of Bastion, but I think I mentioned the last podcast. I haven't played any more since then. So.
Yes.
I've been busy, man. Listen, there's still an echo in here. I'm getting my bed on Tuesday, so I've been doing... I'm still taking care of apartment stuff.
That's like the worst excuse I've ever heard.
Oh, and I've had to go away from the internet to do work, isn't?
Yeah, well, I've still been playing games, man. I was away from work, but I played games on my telephone. Yeah.
Well, aren't you special?
Yes, I am.
Did I mention that I finished Sword and Sorcery?
You didn't on this podcast, but you told me. How did you find it overall? Don't spoil it, because I haven't finished it yet, because I've been away from my computer.
Oh.
How did you find it?
Man, but if you got to the cave where you changed the phases of the moon, you're almost done.
I know.
It takes like 5 minutes after you finish that sequence to finish the game.
Hush now.
I thought you wanted me to tell you about Sword and Sorcery.
I want you to tell me how you felt about it.
I liked it.
Good.
It really took me a long time to get through. I think it took me over a year.
Wow. Yeah, that is a long time.
So I didn't get the full experience all at once.
It's not a very long game.
No, not really. I mean, you could probably finish it. If you don't cheat and you don't use the moon cave, you can probably...
How is that cheating?
Well, because you're supposed to wait for the actual moon cycle.
You're supposed to wait for shit. It's there. You wouldn't put it in there if it wasn't a reason.
The reason is for people who are impatient like you and want to cheat.
I'm not a cheat. If it's in the game and you don't have to look up how to do it and it's right there in front of you, it is not a cheat. It is a valid way of completing the game.
It's not right there in front of you. I didn't find it.
Yeah, well, you don't explore much. I do. So there. Ha. I got you.
You need to be over 13 years old to download apps. I hope you asked your parents' permission.
I got it on PC, so it sucks to be you. I was away, but I played through VelociSpider on my phone, which was a lot of fun, and it's imagine if Space Invaders had various levels and was on a touchscreen phone and got frustrating enough to make you shout Michel Ancel's name, even though he didn't work on the game. he's now the patron saint of frustrating games for me.
Well, you don't normally take saints' names in vain. He's more like the
patron asshole.
Yeah, sure.
So that was fun. And now I'm back
home. The patron takes ass.
I don't want to think about that too much.
Never mind. Someday you'll remember I said that and you'll be like, ah.
I bet it'll be when I'm playing Rayman Legends. You're saying nothing. Good.
Anyway.
You just guaranteed it through true. I've been playing. I've kickstarted a few projects since I got back. I went on the internet and I was like, what's going down on Kickstarter? And I saw some cool stuff that I thought, hey, this will be fun. This will be nice, you know? So some of my money that I made while I was away working has been spent on Kickstarter, on cool stuff, like Hyper Light Drifter, which looks amazing. Death Road to Canada seems cool. Yeah, stuff like that. And I've been playing some other games. I got some more indie games. I've been playing some Rogue Legacy, which is... I found out about it because one of the guys who does the art, I think the character art for Chasm, which as you may recall, I entered a fan art competition for earlier this year and actually won a t-shirt. Yeah.
You won a t-shirt.
Yeah. So one of the guys that did the character art that actually worked on this game did the art for this game. So I've been playing that and that's pretty fun. It's a roguelike platformer. I guess you could compare it to Spelunky, but it's not Spelunky. It's different. It's good. This made me a little frustrated. You heard me shouting before. That was because of this game, so that's nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
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 And I haven't bought any AAA games lately, even though I've looked at stuff like Remember Me, Tomb Raider, The Last of Us. I haven't bought any of them.
Me neither. Rayman's been the only one. Rayman finally broke my my 9-month embargo of not buying any AAA games.
I was when you said finally, I thought you meant Rayman finally got to you. And I was like, what? After a week? But now I know, which wouldn't surprise me, knowing you.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's good. That's good. Let's talk about
it. You don't know me. You don't know my life.
I do know you. I know your life. You like playing video games.
You're right.
And unlike Laura, you don't really have that self-control. I got you.
Leave Laura alone. She's dead.
Yeah, that's not the point. Man, people talk about Shakespeare all the time.
No, they don't. He's boring.
Oh. That's right. Listeners of the podcast, I would like to remind you that was Francisca that said that.
Oh, really? Are we taking the opinions expressed here? Don't reflect the opinions of Ben Chandler?
Oh man, I don't want to get the kickback from the angry fans that are also fans of Shakespeare. You're allowed to be fans of us and Shakespeare at the same time. I'm just saying that.
I don't think that our listeners, our fan base, is the type that's going to get riled up about me saying that Shakespeare's boring.
Who have you been going to see various theatre things with again? Just remind me. Is it someone that listens to our podcast?
Yes, maybe. Oh, am I going to get backlash from her?
I hope so, because that'd be fun. I think I may know her slightly better than you do at this point. That's becoming apparent. Anyway, let's move on.
There's a reason they call him the Bard, because it's only one or two vowels away from bored.
Oh, now you just start in trouble. That's cool.
What can I say? I'm an adventurous guy. And, as an adventurous guy, this is my segue.
Oh my god, okay. In future episodes, I get to the segues, just saying.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about adventure games.
There's an ant on my suite, get off. I had one sitting there, I'm going to have to eat it right now. Let's go.
Specifically, let's talk about Variety.
Oh, that's, we were talking. That's right. That's what we were going to talk about.
Yeah, you talked about how you the Grand Theft Auto formula in Grand Theft Auto. You don't like being the criminal. You want to be something else. You want to do something different.
Yeah.
Well, when you play adventure games, you want to do something different. You don't just want to have to unlock doors and solve puzzles about, you know, distracting guards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Adventure games have the problem of they fall into the traps of having very similar puzzles and things like that. And every now and again, you'll get an adventure game that does something different, and people get all excited about it because it's a genre that I think part of the reason that it went into obscurity for a while was because it just became so formulaic.
I agree. I think one thing that really surprises me when you go back and you play adventure games from the early 1990s is how varied they were. It always blows me away, the variety of puzzles in The Secret of Monkey Island, for example. I mean, you've got stuff like the insult sword fighting, and then you're following a map, and then, you know, you do all this cool stuff. You watch the guy with the safe I love the variety of puzzles. It's not just using items on objects. It's this real... I guess the genre was so young and they were like, yeah, we're going to make an adventure game. And they'd only made like one or two up until that point, you know, so that, well, I don't know the exact chronological order, but they hadn't made, LucasArts hadn't made many adventure games until that point. So there's this huge potential where people haven't tried stuff yet, so they don't go, oh, well, that doesn't work, we can't put it in the game. You know, and you look at stuff like Loom, which I played a bit of recently, and man, Loom's a lovely game. A lot of our listeners will remember Loom from when they were kids, and Loom was like, they didn't bother, you know, going, oh no, this won't work. They just made a game based on what they wanted to do, and I love that. I love that sort of the opportunity to do something different. You know, you even look at stuff like Full Throttle, which, as you know, is one of my favorite examples of the genre, if not my favorite. And you've got all this variety in how you do stuff, and even stuff like Quest for Glory. There's a lot of variety, you know.
Yeah. Well, Loom is interesting because they took a very minimalist approach to the adventure game. I mean, it's all just musical spells, and
it is,
part
yeah.
of the puzzles is figuring out some of the spells, and I thought it was very clever, you know, like they'd give you an open spell and you'd realize that if you did it backwards it became a closing spell.
Yeah, it's
stuff like that.
They basically took an idea and they saw what came from that idea, how they could expand upon it and turn it into a game, which is really nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately, it's kind of on the short side, but whatever.
It's kind of what?
On the short side.
Kind of on the short side. It is the short side, but that's fine.
I was being generous.
Yeah. But no, I really like when I'm playing a game and it does something that I don't expect. I like games to surprise me, you know? If you're playing... There's so many adventure games I've played where they just do not surprise you. Or you get through the game, and at the end you just go, oh, well, that none of those puzzles were really clever.
Yeah.
There's I don't really want to spoil it, because I know people who listen to our podcast are playing it at the moment, but there's a game called Edna and Harvey the Breakout, and in all of the rooms, I thought there's various stuff you can do, like just random, fun, stupid stuff that doesn't contribute to anything. Like, you can, if you have, like, I think it's a crayon. You can write graffiti on everything. With a pair of scissors, you can cut everything up. You play as an insane person, and you can just ruin stuff. And there's, like, tons and tons of this stuff that you can do. And one of the things in there was, and if you're playing Edna and Harvey the Breakout currently, and your name is Ivan, then you should probably skip the next minute or so. It's not a huge spoiler, but it's a spoiler. There's this bit where you walk around the rooms, and in all of the rooms in the asylum, you can turn the lights off and on. And I was like, oh my god, so much effort for such a little point in the game that does nothing. But then you realize later on that it's part of a puzzle. So, yeah, I love stuff like that, where stuff that you just go, oh, that's a bit, you know, that's a bit different. Why did they do that? All of a sudden you realize what it's for, and that was a really amazing point in the game for me. So yeah, and like I said, Secret of Monkey Island, there's a seagull on the pier, and you walk to the plank, and the seagull goes up, and you go, oh, that was fun. And you keep doing it and realize that that's how you have to get the fish. So, you know, it's nice when games just don't make you use items on objects. It's when they do something different. And it doesn't always work perfectly. Well, you look at stuff like... Gemini Rue copped a bit of flack for the shooting sections. Did you like the shooting sections in Gemini Rue?
I didn't think they were as bad as everyone else.
Well,
I wouldn't say that as bad as everyone else said they were, because not everyone else said they were bad. But I thought that they fit with the game.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the bonus of the fact that you could get headshots, so it didn't make it, you know, as tedious as it might have been otherwise.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it fit.
I'd like to see more of that in games, you know. As you know, I recently played Shadowrun Returns, and Shadowrun Returns could have fallen into the trap where you're playing a really boring RPG, which is all about the combat and not about world exploration. But Shadowrun Returns, much like Planescape Torment, which I mention all the time, is one of those games that focuses not just on the aspect of combat, which a lot of, like, you know, Diablo and Torchlight and those sort of role-playing games focus on, but also the act of exploring a world. And it doesn't really have puzzles, but it has sort of
bits where you have to figure out what to do. And rudimentary exploration like this really adds to the combat. And I think, much like in Quest for Glory, where the combat really adds to the exploration of the world, by not having... Like, a lot of adventure games, you have these really obvious barriers, like, you need a key to unlock the door, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in something like a role-playing game, like Quest for Glory or Shadowrun Returns or anything like that, it's not some arbitrary, oh, you know, you don't have the key. It's the, you need to be better at fighting in order to get further. So, yeah, I mean, Quest for Glory is a lot less linear than Shadowrun Return was. But yeah, that's something I really like. I think more adventure games, and this is probably going to get me some flack, but more adventure games could do with combat or some form of challenge, and not just puzzle-based challenge.
It really depends on how you implement it, because, I mean, look at Dreamfall. Dreamfall was an all right game, but everybody disliked the combat greatly.
To be honest, for me, the combat wasn't the low point. The low point was the stealth. The bit where you have to sneak through the ogre in the cave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that really sucks. Seriously, I nearly gave up on the game at that bit. And not because it was really, really hard. It just didn't... I wasn't in the mindset of sneaking past a goddamn ogre. I wanted to just keep going at my own slow pace. I was talking to Captain Nemo recently, and he was replaying it, and he got to that bit. And he was like, oh, man, I forgot how much I hate this bit. And it's only because... It's not a really hard bit. I've played... tons and tons of games that are harder, you know. It's just you're not in that mindset.
I never really had trouble with that part, to be honest.
Okay, well, you grew up playing Mega Man. What do you expect?
Yeah, but Mega Man didn't have any stealth.
No, but it was hard.
So?
No, whatever.
I almost just said something really rude, but this podcast is for children. It's for families.
It's a friendly podcast. We've said rude stuff on the podcast before. We've done swears. It's
you're right.
Say what you want.
No, it's the moment's past now.
Okay. But yeah, so
anyway, yeah.
I think one way of putting variety into a game is multiple solutions for puzzles.
Yeah, actually, it's something that I've been toying with a lot with The Golden Wake, because there was, you know, Ben Jordan, I kind of fell into the use items trap, and there wasn't really a lot of variety in the puzzles in the later Ben Jordan games, because it really became more about the story.
Yep.
So I didn't really want to bog down the player with puzzles and stuff. But yeah, I've found in The Golden Wake that it's really... There's a bit I'm designing right now where I realized there's a whole sequence and a bunch of rooms that will be completely optional. And, you know, if you're smart and you pay attention and you do things, there's an easier way, well, not easier way, but there's a tougher way to get past the obstacle. And if you do that, you're rewarded by bypassing that. Whereas if not, you have to do a little bit more work and kind of bypass the other way. But yeah, multiple solutions are an interesting way to spice things up, because not only do you get a second chance to do it if you fail, but also it adds replayability as well.
I think beyond replayability, just the option to play a game the way I want to play a game is quite, you know, that's what I want from a game, you know?
Well,
I like
that. But I don't know that it necessarily is going to be exactly how you want, because there's only so many possibilities that you can put in sometimes. I mean, if you have a game like, you know, Fallout or something, or some RPG or something where they anticipate that there's going to be a lot of different styles of play, then sure. But in an adventure game, it's a little bit more limited. I mean, you can't possibly think of every single solution that every player is going to have. I mean, someone might think of something that's completely alien to you that you never would have thought of in a million years, but to them makes perfect sense. And, you know, when you hear about it, you think, oh, well, gee, I should have thought of that. So, I mean, having more than just one solution definitely eliminates the problem of think like the designer, which is a big hurdle.
It is a big hurdle. And I like linear games. I'll be the first to say that I find linear games just as rewarding as non-linear games, and in some cases more rewarding, and obviously in some cases less rewarding. But I think the ability to look at a puzzle and have your own solution to it to an extent. I think it's what you call, well, I guess sometimes it's what you call emergent gameplay, which is, no, not emergent gameplay, it's called systemic gameplay, because emergent gameplay is when it comes out of the game. But no, systemic gameplay is when you have, it's like the crate stacking in Deus Ex, you know, you have a window, you have a locked door, and you have a window that's quite high up, and you have crates all around the level that you can pick up and carry, and you move the crates, you go, you know what, I might put the crate beneath the window, and you put the crate beneath the window and jump up on the crate, and all of a sudden you're up where you want to be. It's like, yeah, you know, if you give a set of rules that the player can toy with, then you can watch them be creative and see what they come up with, you know. A lot of physics-based games do this now. But yeah, I think in adventure games, we don't quite have the ability to do that so much because of the way we build them. But yeah. I don't see a reason why we can't push more to this sort of level of let the player experiment. You know, that's what playing is. Playing is having fun and experimenting and seeing what works, I think.
Well, I can. You mentioning crates, I can give you two examples of completely polar opposite games with good crates in them.
Good.
First, let's take Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, nice, which is a perfect example of non-linear gameplay as far as the middle part of the game. Because obviously the first section of the game and the very last section of the game in Atlantis, they're all the same no
right
matter what.
Right.
But the bulk of the game, the middle part of the game, is completely dependent on one of the three paths that you can choose. And at the beginning, you can either, you know, talk your way past the guy at the theater or punch him out, or you can move crates around and climb a ladder and sneak backstage.
Sure.
So that's, you know, that's a perfect example right there of good design as far as multiple solutions. Then you have a game like Broken Sword, The Sleeping Dragon.
The third Broken Sword.
Yes, the third Broken Sword,
mm-hmm,
in which there were several puzzles that involved crates.
Hang on,
moving
hang on.
Crate.
Several? There were quite
yeah
a few.
Well, several is quite a few,
yeah,
yes.
There were, yeah. It grew a little tiresome.
It got very tiresome. And I mean, it wouldn't have been so bad if they had been, you know, alternate solutions, but just the fact that your progress was hampered and, oh, here's another crate-pushing puzzle.
Crate-pushing puzzle.
It just got really, really bad.
Yeah,
so.
I think beyond bad, it just got tedious, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't...
It became a chore, and games should never be a chore to play.
Well, because you're not learning anything, and you're not discovering anything. You're repeating the same action you've repeated a million times. You may as well be playing Farmville.
Or a hidden object game.
Yeah. No, but in a hidden object game, you still have to look for the things. Don't make me defend my favorite genre.
Don't you defend hidden objects.
Don't make me defend
soccer mom.
How dare you?
How are the kids?
Kids are great. Let's go on the podcast before they get crying again. I have to go and make them a fluffernutter sandwich. I just wanted to say fluffernutter because we don't have that here. And I'm jealous of the Americas.
Mm-hmm. I've never had fluffernutter, and I've lived here my entire life.
Yeah, but
so
you don't have the sense of adventure that I clearly do.
I don't have the desire to clog my arteries and die. That you
says the one that eats pie face all the time.
I don't eat pie face all the time. I haven't had pie face in weeks.
What? What, 2 days?
I didn't eat pie face the other day.
Oh, man. You were the one that was like, yeah, I'm going to eat all of the pie face.
It's, I thought so. I thought I was, but plans changed. And
plans
I went to
changed,
hot
man.
Dead.
Oh, yeah, that changes everything.
I had a hot dog with avocado on it.
I don't want to die. I don't want to clog my arteries. Where's my hot dogs?
My hot dog wrapped in bacon with sour cream and avocado.
Oh, man, sour cream is amazing.
Damn right it is.
Podcast about sour cream. Man, I love
that. We should totally do a food podcast.
Oh, man. You don't want to do a food podcast with me. I'll frighten people.
Why?
Because I eat the weirdest things.
You do not. You just... You dip sausages in milk, that's all.
Oh, man, delicious.
And make sandwiches out of peanut butter and cookies dipped in milk.
Oh, man, that's delicious.
How can you not appreciate how amazing that is?
Who says I don't?
I approach my food with the sort of multiple solutions that we've been talking about. Whereas you approach your food with this real linear use peanut butter on
use
spread.
Pie on mouth.
Yeah. Well, I like to spice it up a little bit. So, you know, it comes back to this having a choice. And some players are never going to do it. Like, there's games where I'd like to see an adventure game where you can play as a good or bad guy. You know, there's role-playing games where you can make a choice and you can do the right thing or you can do the wrong thing and then deal with the consequences later. I'd like to see adventure games do that a little more. And I'm desperate to get this podcast back on track.
Did you ever play Innocent Until Caught?
No, I keep meaning to play that. That's on my list, my very long list.
Yeah, well, that's... There was a sequel to that game called Guilty.
Guilty, yeah.
Where you could play as either the guy from the first game or the lady police officer who arrests him. And essentially he wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't a good guy.
Right, he was
a goody-two-shoes cop. Yeah, he was an anti-hero, and she was a goody-two-shoes cop.
Okay.
So I guess that kind of tried to do it, but I don't... And I remember the game... I mean, it's been years since I played them. But I remember the game obviously it was very different depending on which character you picked. It was kind of like Fate of Atlantis in that sense. I think it converged at the end, too. I remember the endings were both kind of sucky, but, okay. Yeah.
I'll have to give it a try. Well, I mean, I plan to play it. I plan to play both of them. I can't even talk. I'm the least good candidate, the worst candidate for hosting a podcast at the moment. But yeah, no, I've been meaning to play the games, so I'll have to give them the old check and see how I found them.
Good.
You only inspired me to play them more, whereas I'd sort of put them on the back burner because Flight of the Amazon Queen is sort of what I've been planning to play. Don't judge me.
Oh, Flight of the Amazon Queen. It's not a bad game, it's just not a great game is all.
I'll either agree with you or disagree with you in a week or so when I've tried it.
Okay.
Although,
well,
at the rate I'm going, it might be more than a week, so I'm busy
if
going.
You don't get turned off by the atrocious voice acting within the first 5 minutes.
Dude, I played EcoQuest.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And Loom.
Hey, Loom's not that bad. Loom is a CD with classic screen deck.
man. are we going to keep talking about our podcast topic, or are we just going to... Let's talk about random things. Who cares?
Well, do you have anything else to add to the topic of that? Because it was kind of a weak topic, to be honest.
David Cage has good ideas, he just executes them badly, and his stories have too many plot holes.
Yeah, what do you think... How do you think Beyond Two Souls is going
to
be?
I think I'm gonna have the same problems that I had with Heavy Rain with that game. I can't see David Cage evolving in the direction that I like.
Yeah, I'm definitely not gonna buy that one until it's
2017.
Like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I just wish that he'd write, you know, good stories.
I wish that he would get some sort of American dialogue expert to write his dialogue for him, because he's obviously, I've said this many times, but he's obviously not familiar with how Americans talk.
And he's not familiar with how to write characters that don't seem like assholes.
Well, that too, but yeah.
I want him to... it worries me that he's written this game with a female main character again. Because I bet I'm going to hate it. And there should be more games with interesting and deep female main characters.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of hope that the fact that it's got Willem Dafoe and Ellen Page in it will make the quality a little bit better. But
here's the problem, right? If a badly written movie script has
great actors,
it's still going to be a crap movie. You know, there's no way I can see it being enjoyable. But anyway, we'll figure it out. I really shouldn't judge David Cage based on his past works because I loved Omicron. And and I enjoyed both my playthroughs of Fahrenheit and of Heavy Rain. But he doesn't seem to be moving in the direction that I like. So yeah, that worries me, you know. I'm glad that there's someone like David Cage doing what he's doing, because if he's not pushing limits, then he's at least pushing limits that he started pushing a while ago, you know. He's following up with his experiments. He's not just leaving them as one-off things and then moving on and going, oh, well, that didn't work. It's nice to see a guy sticking to his guns, even if, you know, he's still not very good at writing stories. So, yeah. And I'm sure there are some Heavy Rain fans amongst our listeners, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, David Cage, for saying bad things about your game. But that's cool, you'll get over it.
I hope David Cage doesn't listen to our podcast.
Why? Because I bag him?
No, because I don't want it tainted by him.
Man, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One are coming out soon. We're up to the next generation of consoles already.
They are, but you know what? I don't see that it's such a big deal as the previous one was.
Why not?
It doesn't seem like that's such a huge leap as it was between the PS2 and the PS3 or the Xbox and the Xbox 360.
Man, I really want a console with more than 512 megabytes of RAM. I really do.
How is that going to make any difference?
Because the bits that lag in games now won't lag. Is that not obvious?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I don't know. It just doesn't
seem like...
I
don't want better graphics. I don't care about better graphics. Graphic doesn't make a difference to me. I just want designers to have more, you know, potential. I mean, they'll be able to make bigger... I mean, bigger is stupid because they just did Grand Theft Auto 5, but they're just... I think they're making sacrifices that they shouldn't have to make because they've only got 512 megabytes of RAM at the moment. And that's a bit ridiculous. 512 megabytes of RAM, man. My telephone's probably got more than that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so, anyway. That's cool. This is one of those podcasts where I'm just like, let's just talk about things. We should do... No, we should do deliver rants, but we just chat about Michel Ancel.
Yeah, besides, I don't think my neighbors would appreciate me shouting in a redneck voice at almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's New York. I'm pretty sure they're used to it. Isn't New York that city you can get away with anything?
Yeah, but I don't want to run afoul of my neighbors. I've only been living here for a little bit. Maybe after I've been here about 6 months, I can start doing stuff.
I just totally put a bid on Abe's Odyssey.
Oh, I have a bid going on a boxed version of Full Throttle right now.
Oh, man, you still haven't got a boxed version of Full Throttle, have you?
Nope.
Awesome.
Not anymore. And I'm selling Mega Man X, so if anybody wants to buy Mega Man X...
Oh, what version of Mega Man X?
The PC version.
Oh, is it boxed? Dude, no, I want Mega Man X. Why aren't you selling it? Sell it to me.
I wouldn't sell it to you.
Sell me Mega... I've been literally looking for Mega Man X. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Yes. It's the DOS version, yeah?
Yeah.
95.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that. Don't sell that. Sell it to me.
What?
I want that.
Why didn't you say so? I wouldn't have sold it.
Oh, my God. Have you sold it?
Well, no. No one's bid on it yet.
Sell it. Don't sell it. Take it down. Take it down. Sell it to me.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Oh, man. Oh, well, okay.
This podcast is... You know I like old games.
What a cat.
I can't believe you're selling Mega Man X sneakily behind my back. That's the game I want.
I didn't know you wanted Mega Man X.
Are you on eBay right now? Can you take it down? I've never used eBay. Can you cancel it?
Yeah, you can cancel it.
Do it. Quick, before someone bids on it. Quick.
No one's going to bid on it.
You don't know that. This is what happens when I see a treasure. This is what I'm like. This is what happens.
This is what happens when I see a treasure. That's the stupidest thing I've heard all day.
You laugh at me. I've never been more serious in my life.
Because I don't know anything about you?
Man, seriously.
Let's see what my statistics are right now. We're podcast. Let's see. One person is watching it, and six people have seen it, and it's got zero bids, and it's got 2 days and 21 hours left.
Yeah, but one person's watching it.
Yeah, one person was watching it before, too. And then they stopped.
Oh, man. Do you have it there in New York, or is it in Miami? Yeah,
I have it right here in New York.
This is the worst podcast ever. Seriously, sell it to me. Sell it to me. Don't sell it to them. I need that in my life.
Let's talk about something interesting.
Let's talk about games.
Yeah.
This is what our podcast is about.
Let's talk about you and your ridiculous... Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a project that I worked on recently coming out soon called Salt, and I made it with the guys from Wormwood Studios, who made Primordia. So that's a real short game, but we made it in 48 hours, and it should be fun. You can tell straight away that the Wormwood guys make it, because Victor's got this really, really, really distinctive art style. So, yeah. We're just polishing it up and doing, a tighter version of it. So if you want something short to play, and you like adventure games, which I hope so because you're listening to our podcast, then check out Salt very soon. I think it's a nice little game. Considering we only had, 2 days to work on it, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty fun.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be... I haven't worked on many releases this year, I've been busy working on other people's stuff. But every now and then, I did the One Room 1 week, and now I did this, and it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah. No, absolutely. One Room 1 week was good, and I did Oro as well. And those
Oro
were nice.
Oro is good for One Room 1 week.
Oh, I meant Mags.
Yeah, you did do Mags. Yeah, it's nice to have a little break. I suggest, out my homework for all of our listeners, since if anyone's still listening to this ridiculous podcast, because this is probably the worst podcast I've ever done in my life, and I really couldn't care less. If any of our listeners...
Why do you keep pointing it out?
Because it's fun. Then your hobby is... Your homework, not hobby. Your homework is to go and make a small game. Go and do it. Even if you just spend 2 days on it. It's fun. That's how I got started making games, man. I was making really small ones.
I made a Reality on the Norm game. That's how I started.
There you go. That's awesome. Just make something really small and simple. Do it in a day. Do it in an hour. If two people play it, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
If our number one fan, Ponch, is listening, I have to write you a personal message. So sorry I haven't got back to you yet.
Oh yeah, and I need to release the source code for Ocean Spirit Dennis's Holiday Havoc.
This is our apologies to Ponch section. A Ponch.
Yes.
Jeez, that doesn't work.
I'm sorry, Ponch. I ate a steak for dinner tonight.
Oh. You're killing his people.
I know. But his people are delicious.
Yeah, they are.
So,
if any vegetarians are listening, I'm sorry.
I'm not.
No. You're not. What else can we cover now that we're on podcast territory? I want to talk about stuff. I want to talk about making games because I haven't made games. I've been busy, I've been away working. The last 2 months have been really busy for me.
Can I tell my story?
No!
About...
Please do.
Fuck off. I can tell my stories.
This was meant to be a family-friendly podcast.
Fuck family-friendly.
Okay. I'll close my hidden object case. I'm not actually.
So that's what all that clicking has been.
No, I'm actually working games. I've been away.
I can't believe you've been playing a hidden object game while we podcast. What is wrong with you?
I've been drawing because I've been away and I've got a lot of work to do for a lot of people.
What, with your mouse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Drawing
sprites?
Yeah, and background.
Oh, okay.
And everything. I've done lots since we've been doing this podcast. I'm a multitasking kind of guy, you know that.
Clearly you are.
Man, I have a... no. I can't tell my multitasking story because this is meant to be a family-friendly podcast, and that really, that's about the least family-friendly thing I could talk about in the whole world.
Do I know this story?
I don't know.
You'll have to tell me after the podcast.
It involves a word search.
A word search?
Yeah, like, you know, like...
Yeah, I know what a word search is.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay. I'll make a mental note about podcast after dark.
I'm going to regret bringing that up. I just know it.
Anyway, so I have an anecdote about game design and about how sometimes you have to take a step back and realize how you overcomplicate things. So I was working on my game the other day, and I had a bit where I have a bit where there's a subway car that goes by. Yeah, sure. And so for the longest time, I mean, I have it set on a timer in AGS, so it's a random value, and there's about five different values that the, you know, it sets different times for the timer, so the train passes at different intervals.
And I have the Billy Joel song stuck in my head now.
The what song?
Billy Joel song. You said for the longest time.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, for the longest time. I've been wanting to. Please, no, let's not. So I wanted to add sound effects to it,
yeah,
or a sound effect to it. But seeing as it's a commercial game, you know, you have to be very careful about what sound effects you use.
Sure, you got. So the other, you got to be very careful. Copyright law is a killer.
Yes. So the other day, I was waiting for my train to go to buy something or something, and at my station there's a train that doesn't stop, it just zooms past, so it was coming.
It's an express, sure.
Yeah, it's an express train, so
I'm pretty sure I
was just like,
know what that is.
Well, sure.
Anyway.
So, it's the asshole train that just is like, I don't stop here.
We'll come back here.
Get back here. So anyway, so I was standing there and I thought, well, let me record this train going by and I can put it in my game. So I did. And then when I got back and I put in the sound effect and I shortened it down to the required length, I was like, okay, cool. But here's the thing about trains. I know you know about trains. Maybe some people don't know about trains.
Man, dude,
but
I live in a place with barely any trains and I know about trains. I'm pretty sure most people are going to know about trains.
Right. So when a train is coming, it doesn't just all of a sudden go, whoosh, here I am. It's sort of, you know, you can hear it coming from a little bit away. So obviously that means that the sound effect of the train fading in the sound has to start playing before the train appears.
It sure does.
So my problem was the train comes by at a non-blocking interval, and I wanted to make the sound effect play and have the train appear after a while. Now, if it was blocking and I could just have the sound effect play and then, you know, pause the game and wait for the train to come by, that's not a problem.
Sure.
But it's not blocking, so I didn't want to do that. So I was trying to figure out all sorts of ways to try and see. I thought maybe, okay, well, when the sound effect plays, I'll have the train move just a little tiny bit before it appears from behind the walk-behind area, and then, you know, come out when it's hit the coordinate. But the train didn't respond to that, and I was getting frustrated, and I spent the better part of an hour and a half trying to figure this out. And in the end, I just thought, wait a minute, what if I set a separate timer, one for the sound effect and one for the train? And I did, and it worked beautifully.
Why didn't you?
So the more,
why didn't you make the train come from like a really, really big minus X coordinate?
Well, it already does.
Make it bigger.
It already does, but the problem with the whole point was that it was just a simple matter of having two different timers, and it works beautifully now. So if you have a problem, and assuming it's not
I've got problems.
Well, yeah. I don't think your problems could be solved by timers.
No.
But the point is, sometimes you need to step back and you need to think maybe you're overcomplicating things when you're designing.
We tend to do that as designers, I think. And especially, you know, when you're coding in unfamiliar territory. So yes, don't complicate yourself. Make game making fun. Game making games should be fun. Yes.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to carry that on, and then I was like, I've got nothing else to add. So making games should be fun. I feel that sums up everything I feel about making games.
It's true. I mean, obviously, every once in a while, you're going to get a bit where
you're gonna say, you know, it's gonna be worth it. But I think the majority of it should be, you should enjoy what you're doing, because otherwise your players are not gonna enjoy it. If you get tired of making your game, the game's gonna suffer. I mean, look, that happened to me with Ben Jordan 5, and I think that it suffered for it.
Okay, I like Ben Jordan 5. Sorry for ruining everything.
It's okay.
No, I just spoiled your point entirely with my enjoyment of your game. But I think it was apparent at points where you're just like, yeah, he was sick of making this.
Yeah.
So I guess
that's what I mean.
Yeah, but I don't really have anything to add to that. You should have fun making your games. That's why we make games. Well, that's why I make games. I mean, there's times when you're like, yeah, I'm making a game to make money, but you could do any job to make money. If you choose to make games, if that's the thing you want to do, there must be a reason you're doing it, and it must be because you like making games, so make sure you enjoy it.
Haven't you ever hit a point where, I mean, I'm sure you must have, at least I know with Piss, you must have gotten to a point where you're just like, oh my god, I'm tired of this, I just want to be done.
I think one of my biggest problems with Piss is I gave myself a really ambitious design with not much time to do it in, you know. So my problem there was I was pushing myself a lot. And then when you push yourself constantly, you hit that point where you're just like, you know what, this needs to be finished. And, yeah. So I think that was the big part there. Deadlines are good, but you shouldn't let them rule your life entirely, you know. I mean, you set a deadline to get stuff done. I obviously, now that I do a lot of freelancing, I have to get work done in a timely manner. But
yeah,
that's not everything. Not everything is about hitting a deadline. Make sure you're enjoying yourself.
Yes.
Good. And make games. Make games, people. I need more games to play. This is very selfish, I know. I don't care. Look, this whole time I've been editing a sprite so that when we release Salt, it'll look better than it did. That's how dedicated I am to making games.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, make games that Ben can play, because I don't play games anymore,
no,
unfortunately.
No, you don't. What is with that?
I know. I don't know. I used to be the guy that would play every single AGS release that would come out, and I stopped after a while. I don't know why. It's really sad.
Do you know,
Ben, I still have Donna, Avenger of Blood, and Barn Runner on my desktop waiting for me to play. And
which
I just,
Barn Runner?
I have,
oh, man, which Barn Runner?
Barn Runner 5, the one you told me I should play.
Oh, number 3?
Or, yeah,
5-3,
I think.
5-3?
I don't know. There's so many Barn Runner games, I can't keep track of any.
You should play Barn Runner. People of the podcast, look, because Barn Runner, and I mean this sincerely, and not just because, you know, I'm mixed with Ponch. I mean this really sincerely. Barn Runner, especially the fifth Barn Runner and its various parts, it gets a bit confusing, but Barn Runner 5, parts 1, 2, and 3 are sensational. They are absolute, they're fantastic bits of adventure gaming, and especially part 3. I'll say, Ponch is getting better, so there's not enough love for Barn Runner. The end. And yeah, it's quality. It's quality.
Good.
Good. Good. This feels like our pod. We could have this the podcast full of like uncertain pauses. usually I come in with a topic in mind, and this time I was just like, whatever.
Well, yeah, see, it just goes to show you I should never be the one to pick the topics.
next time, I'll have an amazing topic.
Good.
You know, but I think we should talk about the future of gaming, and especially adventure gaming, because I've been playing games on my phone quite a bit lately.
Well, I think the phone is a great platform for point-and-click adventure games.
I agree, but I think there's not enough, because I have an Android telephone, and you have an iPhone.
Yes.
And you have more games than I do. You have more access to more games, which saddens me a little. You know, have you played many adventure games on your iPhone?
Yes, I have Broken Sword 1 and 2 on my iPhone.
I mean,
Sword and Sorcery.
I mean, yeah, right. So Sword and Sorcery.
Obviously, yeah. This is an adventure game.
You should play.
I have Monkey Island 2. The Lost City.
Yeah.
No.
And the Grim Manor, I think it's called. Is it the Grim Manor? Let me Google that.
I have Monkey Island 2, as you know, because you watched me play it in the park.
I did. And it just, it's sort of, just lately, you know, because I don't have a computer at my work. So when I have a lunch break, you know, there's my little bit of time to sort of have access to my telephone. And often at my lunch break, I'll lay down on the ground and put my earphones in after I've had something to eat. And I'll just play games. And, you know, and phone games are nice because they're often split up, so you can just play 5 or 10 minutes and then get back up and go back to work. But yeah, it really, I've been playing a lot of phone games lately. So you should play The Lost City. The Lost City's nice. It's got really nice graphics. Is it The Lost City? Let me check. Game, The Lost City game. Yeah, you should. That's it. You should play The Lost City. I think you'll like it. I think it's on iPhone. I know it's on Android. Yeah, it is on iPhone. There you go. Play it.
I'll check it out.
There you go. There's my game recommendation for today.
Only problem is I don't have much space left on my phone, so
delete some of your crud.
Most of what takes up my iPhone memory is music.
I bet most of it is selfies. You're just like, yeah.
No. I don't take selfies.
Okay. I only have 3 songs on my phone. Oh my god, I just looked up and there's like there's 3 spiders having a threesome.
Oh god.
Literally, man. I'm not even lying. Let me go have a look. This is the weirdest podcast.
What a pervert. I hate spiders.
Oh my god, I don't know if they're having. I don't know what they're doing, but there's 3 of them, and there's this huge, massive tangle of. Like, there might be 4 of them.
Oh god!
Oh my god!
It's a spider orgy.
Yeah, they're so tangled up. That's amazing.
I hope they're killing each other.
I don't know, but what podcast is this?
Now it's become a nature podcast. Let's watch as the giant spiders have an orgy.
They're not giant. Night.
Well, it's Australia. Of course, they're giant.
They're the ones that don't kill you. We have one of those.
Oh, that's a lie, and you know it.
I know, but no.
What kind of?
And let me look up the proper term for them while we're having this just put. Here we go.
Yes, this is thrilling.
Opilionis, formerly Phalangida. There you go.
In English.
Oh, they're daddy long legs.
Daddy long legs, those are boring.
Well, they're spiders still, and they're having a foursome.
Ugh.
Exactly.
You got a kinky spiders in your...
Yeah, in your room. Ceiling.
Ugh.
There you go. What a podcast is this? Man, this is gonna be like the, I don't know, I'm gonna be ashamed of this podcast in years to come, and I don't care at the moment. But I will.
For someone who doesn't care, you've certainly mentioned that this is a weird podcast about 20 times already.
We haven't got anything to talk about. Have we? Man, we should people should suggest stuff for us to talk about if they want us to keep doing podcasts, because we're going to run out. We're going to be like, oh, what do we talk about?
We have that list of topics that we made ages ago.
Let me look at the list. Oh, no, don't tell them. That's a secret. They're not allowed to know. You know what we should do? We should do another topic scores thing, because we have music for that. I sent you some.
Yes, we do, and we will.
Good.
So... Yeah, be on the lookout for another Top Scores episode. All right, well, we should probably wrap things up then.
I've got more to talk about. This is redundant.
Oh, do you?
How dare you? We've been doing this podcast for like a year together now. How dare you just wrap up on me without, like...
Go back to playing your hidden object game.
I'm not
is it that time of the month?
Game. Don't you make sexist remarks on my podcast?
Wow. Your podcast?
I am the king of the podcast.
I've been podcasting longer than you've been alive, Sonny.
What, did you start when you were four?
Hello, this is... today I'm going to talk about poop.
How is that any different from our podcast?
Poop. Oh, man. Let's talk about poop. Let's talk about poop in games. One thing that always gets me... I'm serious. One thing that always gets me, right, is how you get these games like Grand Theft Auto now, and they put all this sort of detail in their games where you can go around and you can play darts and you can do all this crap.
Are you going to say that you want their characters to be able to poop Grand Theft Auto?
I want them to be able to do a lot of things. Man, I could poop in 1996 with Duke Nukem 3D.
Well, actually, it's pretty funny you say that, because I remember when I used to play Uncharted, or I'd take Uncharted over to my dad's because my dad liked Uncharted, and he would always say, "Don't these people ever have to eat? Don't they go to the bathroom? They just keep running through the adventure."
He's right, man. If I was running through a jungle, I'd be like, "Oh man, I'm going to have to stop near a big plant with big leaves at some point." Yeah, you know what my dad was looking at the other day? He was like, he sends me a text message. He's like, "Do you have an Xbox 360? I'm like, "No." He's like, "Oh, I found this game that I want to get for my laptop that needs an Xbox 360. I'm like, "Well, what sort of game is it?" And he's like, "It's a train simulator." And I'm like, "Dad, there are no train simulators on Xbox 360. And so I was like, he was like, "Look this up on eBay." So I looked it up, and I'm like, "Dad, that's a game for PC, but it's got an Xbox 360 controller support." He's like, "I don't understand these things."
Anyway, was it Euro Train Simulator 2013?
It was one of the train games. I should get it for him. I should find the best train simulator that'll run on his laptop and get it for him.
Do you really want Mega Man X? Because I ended the auction. You know?
I want it. I want it. I will pay you for it. I'm serious.
Don't be ridiculous. You don't have to pay me for it.
Put it on webcam. I want to see it. I'm excited. I've literally been looking for that game. When you said I thought you had it on...
We'll do our shady backroom dealings after this podcast is over.
Yeah, like straight away. Let's end the podcast. Come on, I've got a game to get.
All right. Well, okay. This has been our podcast. Thanks for listening.
And I've been quite fickle, so...
Well, you are a cat, so I wouldn't expect any less from you.
How dare you?
Easily. Anyway... Thanks for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter for whatever reason, I'm at Grundislav Games, and he's at Ben_304. But you probably already follow us on Twitter, so it's kind of pointless to say this. So, whatever. Anyway, we'll be back with another episode, probably of Top Scores, maybe another podcast. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway.
You know what else I want to play? King's Quest IV.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Yeah, I want to play that. I should play that.
Good.
Good.
All right. So, have a good one.
Farewell.